Let's pray together. Almighty God, shine the light of your love upon the scripture this morning. Give us ears to hear your wonderful message of redemption. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the 11th chapter, the first 11 verses. This is entitled, Jesus and John the Baptist. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I don't know about you, but I've already sent in my letter to Santa. Have y'all got y'all's in? I checked it twice, multiple times. But this is what I know in my life. I will not get everything on my list. I never have. I think it has something to do with the fact that I think I'm better than Santa Claus knows I am. So if you don't get everything on your list, that's why. Have any of you been disappointed on Christmas morning because you didn't get what you wrote on the list? Or is it just me? Well, I have had disappointment time and time again. I guess I'll have it again this year. I really do. Yesterday afternoon, I was watching the PNC Championship. Y'all know about the PNC Championship, that golf tournament they have right before Christmas every year. It's a very unique golf tournament. You have to participate. You have to be a major champion. And you have to be, well, you got to be invited after that. But then your partner is someone who is related to you. Tiger Woods is playing with his son, Charlie. Charlie's now 14 years old. He's been playing, I think, since he was 9. Nelly Korda is playing with her her father, who was used to be a professional tennis player. Annika Sorostan is playing with her son, Will McGee. He's about 10 or 11. Justin Thomas is playing with his dad, who is 70s or something. Lee Trevino is playing, 84 years old, and his son. His wife had late in life. And where you tee off depends on how young and vibrant you are. So Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, they're teeing off way in the back. And I'm guessing that Lee Trevino, being 84, gets to tee off way up in front. To make it fair, it's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch these people grow up. About 3 or 4 years ago, they had one, and I can't remember the golfer, but he didn't ask his son or his dad to play, or his wife. He asked his mother-in-law to be his partner. I mean, really. I think he wanted to try to get in good graces with her or something. And so on one of these holes, he was, of course, teeing off way in the back, and he hits this drive, and he kills it. And then as it's getting way out there, it takes a duck hook and lands in the lake. And so he gets in the cart, and he rides up to his mother-in-law's tee, where she would tee off way up, and all she really has to do is hit it just a little ways, and it'll be in the fairway, and they'll have an easy shot to the green. But that's not what happens. She swings, and it goes right and high, and it starts bouncing around in trees, and it sounded like a pinball machine. Ding, 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 ding. And then it lands in the rough, this deep rough. They got a real long shot to the green. And the son-in-law says, well, that's not really what I hoped you would do. And she says something like, I'm in better shape than you. And then she said, that's a son-in-law shot. He said, a son-in-law shot? Yes. I was hoping for better, but I'll take what I got. And then she said, forgive me. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that to you because you're an answer to prayer. And it wasn't my prayer, but it was somebody's prayer. Sometimes we're disappointed where we are. A number of people, sometimes somewhere, they accept Christ, they become a Christian, and all of a sudden, for some reason, unknowing to anyone that I know of, things don't go like they wanted them to go. I guess they thought they were going to stay on the mountaintop forever. But life happens. And you find yourself in the valley or in the desert. Amen? You do. It's not fun. We want to stay on top of the mountain. Amen? We want it to be Christmas Day every day. Yeah. You can't afford it. We do. But even John the Baptist, the one who was sent to proclaim the coming of Christ, a prophet. Things were going well for John the Baptist. He was telling people to repent. He was telling them what we all want to tell people. You need to straighten up. You need to do the right thing. You're not doing the right thing. You need to do the right thing. And you do that and do that enough, and eventually somebody's not going to like it. And John the Baptist found himself in prison. And he wanted to know, Jesus, are you the one? If I'm going to die a prophet's death, I need to know if you're the one. John the Baptist had days like we have, and we have days like John the Baptist. Jesus had those days too. In the chapter after our scripture this morning, in Matthew 12, 14 through 21, we read these words. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. The next three words are critical. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. N.T. Wright puts in his book, Advent for Everyone, this story about an Anglican bishop. If you can imagine an Anglican bishop in his office, in his study, with his hands buried deep in his head, buried into his hands. He had just opened three letters from a church that was angry because the priest changed the style of worship. The director of finance had just left his office saying that if the if offerings have don't pick up over the next 6 months, there are going to be three churches where we're going to have to close, and then we have to find or get these three priests to retire. The police were investigating a church worker following some serious allegations. The bishop's closest colleague in ministry had a major surgery and was going to be on sick leave for 3 months. And then the telephone rang, and it was one of his children's schools informing them that this child at school had misbehaved and he needed to get to the school in a hurry. I would say that the bishop was having one of those days, like I would say, he was up to his ears in alligators, and it was hard for him to remember his objective was to drain the swamp. Have you ever had those days when you could not know how you're going to get through it, and everything is nipping at you, and everything is going wrong? And while the bishop had his head in his hands, he remembered the words of those scripture from Matthew 12. In his name, the nations will put their hope. And he started thinking. He thought about a mission trip that he had returned from in Africa, where a teenager who had accepted Christ was giving his testimony to other teenagers about accepting Christ and how Christ had changed his life. And he was talking to those other teenagers who were dealing with, who had been tempted, who had been asked to be a part of a gang, a violent gang. And it brought joy to him that a teenager was sharing Christ. He thought about this village in town in Africa. The church had built a hospital. For the first time in the history of this area of Africa, they actually had health care. They could actually go someplace to see a doctor. He thought about the villages where they had dug wells, and for the first time in the history, these people had clean drinking water. He thought about this place in South America where they'd built a church. It was thriving, it was growing in the midst of poverty and despair. You see, he realized that the kingdom of God is bigger than our troubles. And when I was reading that yesterday, I was thinking about all the things that somehow or another has crossed my plate or I worry about. Scroll across my desk or wherever, and I just think, I'm worried about these things because there's a lot of stuff going on here at the church. It's Advent, right? And Christmas sometimes can't come quick enough. A lot of stuff on the plate, and I'm stressing. And then all of a sudden, when I read about all the things that brought him up and lifted him up, I thought, June and I went to Lexington, Kentucky, to the funeral of the husband of June's best friend growing up. All her life, she's been a friend. And we drive the 377 miles to Lexington, and we go visit her. We see her family. We have dinner with her family. We go to the church the next day, and we realize she has a wonderful church. Church family that loves her, is going to care for her. And she's got great family. You think, praise God, that the kingdom of God is bigger than my troubles. And I come home, and on Saturday morning, I realized that we had three gifts that we had not delivered to cross-cultural ministries. So I call the lady. I said, can I deliver them? She said, sure. And I go to Doraville Baptist Church right across from the MARTA station. And there they have these rooms. They have a room that's got toys in it and Christmas for children that are preschoolers and younger. They have a room that's got early elementary school room. They got a room with upper elementary school, and then they have junior high, middle school, and then they have high school, and they got all this stuff, and they got 250-something bags with names on them and their age and what they wanted. And I realized, as much as we did, which was the most we've ever done for them, there are countless other churches and Christians who are helping make that an unbelievable ministry, because it's so much bigger than what we can imagine, what we could see. Praise God. And I was talking to her, and I said, wow, this is great. She said, well, next year, it's probably going to be twice as big, because we're going to move in and expand into another apartment complex. And I asked her, and I said, that means you're going to have to start going on prayer walks again. This lady started that ministry over in Doraville off Buford Highway. It was a section in the early 90s that had mainly Vietnamese and Southeast Asian immigrants, and she knew that they needed help, and she wanted to start tutoring them and some kind of after-school program. So she started walking the neighborhood and doing a prayer walk where she prayed for the people who lived in the houses, and did it regularly, same time, multiple times a week. And one day she met a lady at the mailbox, of all places, and they spoke and said, I see you walking. What are you doing? And she said, I'm trying to start an after-school program for kids where English is not their first language, and I want to help them. And the lady said, I got two in my house. And she started tutoring them in the lady's house once a week. And she kept walking, and it kept growing and growing. 200-plus kids, 250, I think, and now they're expanding. That was cool. And then Sunday happened, and I got to do one of the things I love the most about Kingswood. I got the privilege to go caroling last Sunday night. We got to go, our group, to Dunwoody Pines. Is that what it's called, Dunwoody Pines? Over there where Tom and Martha Bowen live. And all those people, we were there at dinner. They sang with us. They enjoyed it. They clapped. They had a great time. They were smiling. It was wonderful to see them. And then we left there, and we went and sang at other people's houses, people that maybe don't get out as much, people who need a smile, need to hear the good news. We were doing that while the youth were at other places, the mansions, and I just love it, singing and doing the caroling. It is wonderful. It's a blessing. Then on Monday, in here, the preschool had a Christmas program. First time I think we've had one where everybody was in here at the same time and invited the parents. It was unbelievable. Allison Clark read the Christmas story. The children were singing. It warmed my heart. It really did. And then I was leaving a meeting. I don't know if it was Monday night or Tuesday night. And I was walking out of the hall, and I walked by the Backpack Buddies room, and there was Heather and a group of people. Some of those people who were in the meeting with me joined her, and they were packing Backpack Buddies meals. You know, all my problems and struggles disappeared when I started thinking about the goodness of God and the kingdom of God being so much bigger than all our problems. It really is. And then there are times when we wonder, what is John the Baptist doing asking a question? Are you the one? Come on, John. You should know better than that. Don't we? I mean, in my life, I was afraid to ask questions in school, because even though they said there was no such thing as a stupid question, I've asked enough questions to know that there are, because people laugh at you when they are. I always liked it when the odd chance that the smartest person in the class asked the question. That gives you permission for people like me to ask questions. It's good to do. But he asked a question and sent his disciples. And how did Jesus respond? How did Jesus respond to his disciples? I'll tell you how he responded. When they were walking off, he said to the people gathered there, he told them, John was not a man that was easily swayed by the wind and the moment. He was not one who had an ear of an earthly ruler who was here today and gone tomorrow. He was a prophet as great as the prophets of old. He might have asked the question, but among those born of women, there has not come one any greater than John the Baptist. And we ask questions too. But I want to tell you that thing that we need to make sure we don't do is something I learned while watching Rosalynn Carter's funeral at Glenn Memorial. It was a quote that Jason Carter said and attributed to John Lewis. John Lewis said, I can't imagine the number of marches that John Lewis was involved in his life. But he said these words. He said, the only thing I learned in marches is don't let them turn you around. No matter what's going on in your life, in my life, whatever it is that's causing us to struggle, it's overwhelming sometimes. Never let it turn you around. Because the grace of God, the kingdom of God, is bigger than that. Better than that. Whatever is behind you will never, ever equal what's in front of you. You see, the disciples, they had questions about the lordship of Jesus. They wanted David to be, they wanted another David. They wanted David to be come back to life in Jesus, and they wanted him to run the Romans out of town. But that's not what they got. Because in time, over time, they saw who Jesus was, the lordship of Christ. They saw it when he went to Jerusalem. They saw it when he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They saw it when he ran the people out of the courtyard of the temple. They saw it the night, the Last Supper. They saw it when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw it when he was arrested. They saw it when they took him to Caiaphas's house and they took him to Pilate's palace. They saw it when he was crucified. They saw it when they buried him. They saw it when he was raised from the dead. They wanted a different Messiah, but what they got was something, someone they could have never imagined, so much better than what they thought. Don't let them turn you back, because what's in front of us is so much better. Because his name is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. May we not keep our eyes off of him. May we keep our eyes on him. May we not look back. Lord, in the midst of all that's going on, let us look beyond our troubles and see where you are at work and celebrate in our lives and in the lives of others. And may your kingdom grow every day in every way. Amen.